Minicamp takes place this week in Green Bay, but before we get to that, we feature an interview with Vinny Iyer of the Sporting News, who predicted the Packers as its preseason Super Bowl champions. It's all coming up on Railbird Central. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV and 24/7 Sports. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We'll be talking mini camp in a little bit, but to kick off the show, we have a guest joining us on the phone. We have Vinny Iyer of Sporting News. Mr. Iyer, how are you doing this morning?
Good, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us. We appreciate your insight you're going to share with us. The Sporting News tabbed the Packers as its preseason Super Bowl champions. And first of all, as a representative of the publication, can you kind of take us behind the scenes and let us know how this prediction came about? Is it the consensus of the staff, or how does that work?
Well, part of it is I go through the process of looking at every game on the schedule and see how things work out with the seedings and records, and go from there and see what we have. And some teams you just feel good about and you kind of pencil in to be in the playoffs mm-hmm. and win a division. And Green Bay is certainly one of them. They've been consistently like that, to kind of like New England in the AFC. So from there, just looking at what the other teams are, how close they were last year, how much the Packers have not lost compared to teams that are going to change, and then you look across the board, and it's still the strong teams from last year. And then you kind of do a process of elimination. Who do we not like as much? And then you get Green Bay, which it's the pick that we feel the best about, and it's hard to argue with that at this point.
Is the Packers your personal pick as the Super Bowl champions, or is the whole staff on board with that? Is it like who the majority rules among the staff, or is it just – like one person's opinion?
Well, I put it out there, and I will analyze all the playoff teams, and I'll ask people, what do we think?
Try okay.
Adjust a few picks here and there. Is that something we like? Is there any major objection to who we have? And usually they're nice enough to say, hey, this looks kind of good, and we kind of agree with this, and we go from there.
So what is it about the Packers that kind of puts them over the top over the other 31 teams in the NFL? You know, what kind of inherent qualities do the Packers have that other teams don't?
Well, first of all, you look at where they were last year, right on the cusp of doing this, winning it all, and just so heartbreaking against Seattle. And you know they were looking at that New England game as a game they could have won as well. So you start from there, and then you go, of course, the franchise quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, the best player in the game right now in terms of being 31 and in the prime of his career. So when you look at Rodgers, he gives an edge that a few teams in this league have at that position. There's only a handful of guys that are in that age group that are consistently elite at quarterback. So when you look at Rodgers, that's a great place to start. You have Brian Bulaga and Randall Cobb back in the mix, two key returnees. And I think another thing you look at defensively, the one thing that they need to fix in defensive line, makes changes in the defensive backfield. But overall, you really like this team, and it really weighs a lot on Rodgers and the offense that they have.
As you mentioned, the New England Patriots you have as the AFC representative in the Super Bowl. What gives the Packers the edge over the Pats?
Well, I think a couple things. Right now, when you look down the line, and I look at these matchups, when we think about that far down the line, you say, okay, the secondary doesn't have Darrell Revis or mm-hmm. Brandon Browner anymore.
Okay.
Anyone to really slow down these receivers, and that's what you kind of see the edge for the Packers in that game. And you throw in Eddie Lacy there, it's hard for a team like the Patriots that likes to pick their poison, take the best thing away to do that with the Packers.
Yeah, definitely. How about the defending NFC Championship Seattle Seahawks? Do you give the Packers the edge over the Seahawks because you think this year's NFC Championship will be hosted at Lambeau Field, or is it more than that?
Well, that's definitely a big part of it. I mean, you have Green Bay, and you look at their division. We'll get to that in a minute. But you look at Seattle, they might have some stumbling blocks there. One win here or there makes a big difference in where you get that game played. And I think a lot of people would say, hey, if that game was played in Lambeau, you doubt you'd see the losing such a big lead in the championship game. So if that thing can tilt it, I think it's pretty close. I don't think Seattle quite as good as they were, just losing some more depth, and you're not sure what they're going to do without Max Unger. Their offensive line is a little suspect. So I think that's just enough of an opening to get Green Bay into the Super Bowl.
We're talking to Vinny Iyer of Sporting News here at Railbird Central on a Monday morning here at Cheesehead TV and 24/7 Sports. Mr. Iyer, before the Packers get to the Super Bowl, first they have to get through the NFC North. So if we could take a moment and kind of go through the division, starting with the Chicago Bears. The Packers open their season in Chicago this year. Is there hope the Bears will be better than their 5-11 record a season ago with a new coach at the helm?
They should be better on paper because they have the talent. They should have been better than they were last year with the talent they have. But here's the problem with the Bears. You're going wholesale changes here with your defense, trying to put a new scheme.
Yep.
You're trying to bring in a new offense, figure out Jay Cutler without Brandon Marshall and get a rookie in there with Kevin White as your go-to guy. So a lot of change going on with personnel and attitude on this team. So I think when you have that kind of sweeping movement, it's really hard to rely on a big bounce back season.
Moving on to the Lions, this was the Packers' toughest challenger a year ago, a playoff team. Can the Lions continue to be a playoff-caliber team without Ndamukong Suh now moving on?
I don't think they can because it's so much of last season was based on their defense. Their offense really did not play well. I mean, I know they had some injuries up front. They weren't as consistent with Calvin Johnson's Matt Stafford connection, but overall, they were winning a lot of ugly games last year that they really needed their defense to play at that level, and I just can't see that level being maintained without Sue, and I'm not trusting their offense. I know on paper they still have a lot of weapons, but they make a lot of mistakes, even with a Jim Caldwell team designed not to do that. So I think they're going to struggle and fall out of the playoffs, and I think they're going to realize they relied too much on their defense last year.
Finally, over in Minnesota, there's kind of this lingering issue with Adrian Peterson hanging over the team. But beyond that, is Teddy Bridgewater the real deal? Feel free to address those issues in any order you want.
Well, Adrian Peterson coming back for Teddy Bridgewater is huge because I think we forget that Bridgewater had a very good rookie season without Adrian Peterson for the most part. So this is like getting a major upgrade at running back that you didn't expect. And You look at this team, I'm not sure Mike Wallace is going to be the guy that they want to bring along Bridgewater. I know he does what on their offense, stretch the field, can take the deep shot, but that's one question mark I have if he's going to have the right chemistry there with Bridgewater. But you look at this team, I think there's a lot of positives, a lot of good young talent defensively as well. You look at Anthony Barr, their other first-round pick at linebacker, so they're on the right track under Mike Zimmer. I just think they might be a year away from being a real factor. But the NFC being weak at the bottom, I think they can definitely contend for a wild card now.
Kind of last question here, last issue. We'll discuss kind of the biggest news regarding the Packers in the last few days before the weekend. The Patriots signed former Packers quarterback Matt Flynn. And we've got the Tom Brady appeal coming up in the fairly near future. So I'm kind of curious how Flynn might be impacted. But what do you think will happen with the Brady appeal?
Yeah, the Brady appeal is interesting. We're about probably a week away from it actually going into motion and figuring out if it's going to be cut short. I've always thought there's a potential for two games. I think that's the best case scenario. More likely, I can't see it being changed because you have Roger Goodell kind of playing the closer this year with Troy Vincent as the setup man, so to speak, for this. So the way it's going down, I think they want to keep it the way it is. It's going to be hard to hold up beyond that. I mean, there's going to be a lot of legal action taken if it is still four games. So that's another whole mess. But looking at Matt Flynn, Jimmy Garoppolo, I think Jimmy Garoppolo is still the guy they want to be the sub if needed. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing to get him some action early, how many games Brady misses. So I think Matt Flynn is just one of those guys he signed. He's kind of a pro's pro. He can pick up an offense pretty well. But in terms of actually putting him on the field, you're not totally want to be in that situation where you feel comfortable with. So he's good insurance at this point. There was nobody really looking at him too much. And I think that's why they pretty much signed him, is there's nothing else out there in terms of experience, just in case.
Whether it's two games or four games, do you think it's possible that the Patriots would actually cut Matt Flynn once Tom Brady is back from suspension?
Oh, absolutely. I think that would happen because they're really happy with Jimmy Garoppolo so far in his development. I think that this is just a backup to the backup just in case things go awry. I mean, you need a guy like this if something were happening to Garoppolo while Brady's out. So I think he's a guy, like I said, you plug him in, you feel good about him sitting there on your bench. When it comes to actually playing, you want to avoid that. So I think that's where you have Matt Flynn at this point in his career.
Interesting. Well, last thing here, but before we let you go, the Packers are the Sporting News preseason prediction is Super Bowl champions. The Sporting News preview issue is coming out. When does that hit newsstands?
It should be around the corner anywhere pretty soon here. They put these out so early so you guys can get your football fix while mini camp's done waiting for training camp. So yeah, look out for it now. Make sure you get the right copy. I don't think you guys want to have any Bears covers or anything, but just look around the corner. I'm sure you'll see a familiar face on there and go from there. It's packed with everything you need to get you ready for the season.
Very good. Well, Mr. Iyer, we appreciate your insight on today's show. Glad to have you on and glad to hear you've predicted the Packers as Super Bowl champs.
Oh, enjoy it, Brian. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care. Vinny Iyer of the Sporting News joining us here on the show this morning at Railbird Central. Thank you to him for joining us. Thank you to the listener for joining us as well on a Monday morning. Kind of discussing, keeping the discussion going here about the Packers as Super Bowl champions. I kind of posed the question on Twitter as to what do you think is the Packers' biggest obstacle to a Super Bowl? I posed it in terms of who or what is the Packers' biggest obstacle to the Super Bowl, kind of keeping it, you know, a little bit vague. Is it a particular team that you feel is really good? Or is it something else that could stand in the way? And I kind of got a few different answers here, and I'll share a few of them here from Evan Hates Twitter on Twitter. It's an amusing name. But Evan says, health, always health. If they have a season like last year, they'll be in the Super Bowl. Sharknado PhD says the only thing stopping the Packers from winning the Super Bowl is a Rodgers injury. Samuel Shear on Twitter says, I think the Seahawks are still standing in the way, but hopefully I'm wrong. BestD75 says conservative offensive mindset in the fourth quarter with a subpar defense. I guess that's more of what's standing in the way from the Packers of a 2014 Super Bowl more than a 2015, other than if we continue to think the Packers will have a conservative offensive mindset in the fourth quarter continuing into 2015. But David Gillette on Twitter kind of echoes the same sentiment, saying the defense closing game. So kind of a variety of answers there. from offense to defense, with offense being conservative, defense not being able to close. Of course, people addressing the injury issue and specifically that to Aaron Rodgers. One person saying the Seahawks stand in the way. Nobody saying the Patriots. Interestingly, perhaps if I had given people a little bit more time, that answer would have came up. But anyway, so there's just a few answers in terms of what people think is a Packers obstacle to win the Super Bowl. And, I think if I had to pick one thing, I would say injuries too. Obviously, if Aaron Rodgers suffers an injury, that really, really hurts. I'm a Scott Tolzien guy. I just think he is getting better and better all the time. I liked him coming out of college, not like loved him by any means, but you know, myself as a former, a current Wisconsin season ticket football holder, I saw Scott Tolzien and I liked what I saw. And I think he's very much a pro style quarterback, kind of a more of a pocket guy. He's not real mobile, not going to run the read option or anything like that. But I just like what he did with Wisconsin's offense. And I think he learned early in his NFL career for a few seasons with San Francisco and actually got to go to a Super Bowl with them. And then coming to Green Bay, I thought, what he did, I thought he was, of course, thrown into a tough situation in 2013 there when, Rodgers had the injury and he was basically thrown into the fire. But last year, of course, we didn't really get to see Scott Tolzien, but, you got to see him in the preseason action. And I thought he did really, really good during the preseason. I don't know. I'm encouraged by what Scott Tolzien's done. And I guess I don't know if he can lead them to the Super Bowl. I think he can lead them to wins, if called upon during the regular season, whatever. But the playoffs is a different animal if you're going up against the likes of who you may meet in the playoffs, like a Tom Brady and Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson, things like that. Can he beat those caliber teams led by, Pro Bowl quarterbacks of their own? Jury's still out on that. But let's kind of get to some of the other segments on the show.
Packers news of the day.
On Sunday, the Jordy Nelson celebrity softball game took place. And the winner of the game was the Packers defense, although that came with a twist. Reportedly, as several outlets have reported this, what happened during the Jordy Nelson celebrity softball game with more than 40 Packers taking part, very cool event done for charity. I know the primary beneficiary is Young Life, which Jordy Nelson supports, but there's others that are supported as well. Anyway, yeah, so what happened was the Packers offense was apparently leading the contest by a fairly large amount, something like, 12-5 or something like that. And then in the fourth inning, they announced that the offense and defense would flip scores just to keep the game competitive, which I thought was fairly creative. And the Packers offense thus couldn't close the gap once they flipped the score and the defense ends up winning. But that's hardly the big news. The big news is the charities involved that the winners are the charities involved that the game raised funds for, and congratulations to Jordy Nelson on taking a fan-friendly event and raising money and things like that. So a lot of Packers big names were there. Actually, Aaron Rodgers and Clay Matthews both took part. I know they had not the previous season before. So it was cool that Nelson had those guys get involved. And so apparently there was a crowd of over 8,000 people in attendance at Fox City Stadium in Grand Chute, Wisconsin on Sunday. So a lot of people got to see Packers players in action on the softball field. So
just a good fan-friendly day. So that's really cool. And apparently, the other news coming out of the event, the Home Run Derby champion, with all the Packers players taking place, the Home Run Derby champion, just in case you were wondering, was tight end Richard Rodgers, who apparently also hit several dingers during the game itself. So I don't know how much can carry over from a home run derby to the football field, but hopefully that's just a good indication that the Packers have a talented athlete on their hands, if nothing else. So congratulations to Richard Rodgers. So that's kind of the big news over the weekend regarding the Green Bay Packers. But continuing on,
the day ahead
in the world of the Green Bay Packers, this Monday, kind of the biggest thing happening today is the Mike McCarthy Golf Invitational. And let me correct myself, the Mike and Jessica McCarthy Golf Invitational. The coach and his wife jointly host this annual event, now in its sixth year, to benefit the American Family Children's Hospital in Madison. What they do is, actually last night, Sunday night, they held a dinner that, you know, kind of one of those things where you have silent auctions and they have, you know, an entertainment program and all those kind of things. And then follow that up today with a golf tournament actually taking place in nearby Oregon, Wisconsin. So, you know, golf foursomes, they all get paired with like a celebrity packer to make it a five-team group or whatever, what have you. But I know in its existence, so I said now it's the sixth annual event. Over the course of the first 5 years, Mike McCarthy has helped raise over $1.2 million for Children's Hospital in Madison. So really cool there by the Packers coach to, you know, use his profile to raise funds once again for another very worthwhile charity here. So it's just cool to see, you know, Packers players and coaches taking time out of the schedule here to do this during the off season. That's kind of the biggest thing today, because tomorrow mini camp starts up. So kind of the last portion of the off season program, a 9-week off season program, comes to an end this week. So mini camp Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And this is mandatory minicamp. That means no rookie premiere, no broadcast boot camp, keeping these guys away from practice. All players are required by contract to be in attendance. Not that they couldn't choose not to go, but they would be subject to fine if they weren't in attendance. But based upon who's been at minicamp or OTAs thus far, I would expect 100% participation for the Packers. So that's certainly a good thing. One of the big, I think, storylines heading into this week, or one of the things to watch, is rookie third-round draft choice Ty Montgomery taking part in his first full-team environment practice. Because actually, kind of some news over the weekend as well, Stanford held their graduation on Sunday. They, of course, are, as we've talked about, I've written about here at 24/7 Sports, Stanford is on the quarters program. And when that happens, any, you know, graduating seniors are required to complete their education before taking part and joining the NFL. So you know, Ty Montgomery has not been part of the Packers OTAs thus far. So he missed the full 3 weeks of OTAs behind, you know, kind of puts him behind the eight ball a little bit. I mean, certainly good news that he, you know, is able to come back in time for mini camp and be there for, like I said, a full team environment practice. Not the first time he's been there, because they actually allow him to come in for the one weekend during the rookie mini camp where it's rookies only. You know, that's right in the aftermath of the NFL draft. But of course, you know, he wasn't working with the veterans on the team. There was no opportunity there for Ty Montgomery to work with the likes of Aaron Rodgers, catch passes from him and things like that. And that really, you know, like I said, puts him behind the eight ball from the aspect that if Ty Montgomery is going to be a part of the Packers' first string offense this season, that's tough. That's really tough. Because you know, here, the guys he's competing with, like Jeff Janis, like Jared Abradaris, even the undrafted rookies on the team, they all at least have gotten that. I don't know how much the undrafted rookies have gotten the opportunity to catch passes from Aaron Rodgers, maybe just a little bit during drill, individual drills or things like that. But as far as, you know, when the first string offense is out there, you know, Jordy Nelson, of course, was missing practice for a while because of, you know, recovery from his injury. That's opened the door for Janis, Abradaris, those kind of guys to get those first team reps. And so, you know, Ty Montgomery hasn't gotten that thus far. And I don't know how much he will in just, like I said, 1 3-day mini camp, one in which, you know, the Packers, you know, typically uses a team building opportunity as it is. So pretty much a two day mini camp. So really, you know, there's not that much of an opportunity for Ty Montgomery to practice with the first string. And, you know, I just don't, even in the practices they do have, is the coaching staff going to be comfortable putting him out there? Are they going to be, you know, can you rely on a rookie who hasn't been around to throw him into the fire, so to speak? Or is he simply going to be, you know, with the second team, with the third team, things like that, you know, catching passes from the likes of Scott Tolzien and Brett Hundley and Matt Blanchard instead? I guess we find out this week what their comfort level is with getting Ty Montgomery involved. But I think that'll be one of the big storylines this week as minicamp takes place. But like I said, it'll be a full team environment. Players are required to be there. Kind of interesting last week that a few guys were gone, notably Julius Peppers and Sam Shields were not in attendance last week after they previously had been. Not sure exactly why. Of course, OTAs are voluntary, so it's not like they were required to be there. But it'll be good to see them back this week, assuming they are. I imagine they will be. So practice taking place. I think, as I've seen the beat reporters throw out there on Twitter and things like that, practice open to the public Tuesday and Thursday this week, not on Wednesday. I assume on Wednesday that'll be the day that they do their team building exercise. Every year the Packers do, you know, they go and do clay pigeon shooting or, you know, dodgeball or bowling or things like that. I imagine, and again, this is just me speculating, it's not like they've made any announcement, but history has shown that'll happen on Wednesday, or as what typically happens with the Green Bay Packers on a year-to-year basis under head coach Mike McCarthy. But practice Tuesday and Thursday this week. So I'll be there actually Tuesday. So I'm interested to see the Packers in action in person, see with my own two eyes what is going on. So excited to do that. But we'll have an update for you then on Wednesday. I'll let you know what I see. So heading up to Green Bay tomorrow, and I'll let you know more on our next episode of Railbird Central what happened. So We'll see you later, folks. That does it for today's show on Railbird Central. Thank you to Vinny Iyer of the Sporting News for joining us. Give him a follow on Twitter. It's just his name, Vinny Iyer. By all means, please let him know he did a great job on the show and breaking down the NFL for us. We'll see you later, folks. Join us every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, the live edition of the show, podcasted and viewed on demand later in the day. We'll see you later. I leave you today with a song called Mental Floss by Keller Williams on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack Go.